accession number 17682, Reel 1.
Mr. Cheevers, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
In Newcastle on Tyne.
Which year was this?
1918.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Newcastle?
No, I went to London when I was 6 months old.
Whereabouts did you grow up in London?
In the Hampstead Garden suburb.
Did you have your schooling in Hampstead Garden suburb?
Well, close to it, in Finchley.
Which school did you go to there?
Well, our first school was an infant school, and the second one was Christ College, Finchley.
How old were you when you left school?
17, I think.
Did you get a job?
No, I went into training. I went on a course of photography, cinematography at the Polytechnic, Regent Street, 2 year course.
Were you still doing that when war broke out?
No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. No.
What did you do on leaving the Polytechnic?
I went to join the BBC.
In what capacity?
In an engineering capacity, in the television.
And where were you based?
I'm based at Alexander Palace.
So that was what you were doing when war was declared?
Yes, that was what I was doing. And they, when war was declared, they closed it, the service down, of course.
So you were an early television engineer?
Very early, as pioneer.
Can you tell me about what you remember of the early days of television before the war?
Well, I remember that it was very difficult to get politicians to come on television, but now it's difficult keeping them off.
Why do you think they were so reluctant in the early?
Well, I don't. First of all, it was a very limited service. It only covered the London area, and it was something new they didn't like very much.
What were the kind of technical problems you were having to deal with?
Well, cable problems and camera problems. It was very early equipment and, of course, gave rise to a number of problems.
What specific problems do you remember having to deal with?
I remember having to deal with the monitors, television monitors, which were very crude in those days, and with the cameras. They tended to suddenly stop working.
Did that cause much of a panic?
No, we had three cameras, so we switched from one that wasn't working to one that was.
What was the equipment like in comparison with nowadays?
Oh, well, it was very crude indeed.
What were the main problems you had in doing your job?
Well, in understanding what was wrong, because it was a very complex operation in those days, and we hadn't the measuring equipment to determine the faults.
Did you get full cooperation from the other members of the staff?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It was a pioneering crowd. Everybody loved it, really.
Do you remember any of the personalities and presenters?
Yes, I remember Elizabeth Bly. She was the first announcer. And I remember Leslie Mitchell, who was the first male announcer. Very nice people.
Do you have any stories about them?
Not particularly, no.
They were rather different from the presenters nowadays, I think.
Oh, yes, they were.
In what way?
Well, they were. They didn't seem so distant. They were more intimately involved than they are today.
I thought they would have been more formal in those days.
No, they weren't. Not at Alexander Palace. Television was quite different from broadcasting. Everybody worked together. It wasn't like sound broadcasting. Because there was only a little group of you in television. There weren't more than about 40 people altogether.
How do you realise that television was going to take off in the way in which it did?
Not really. I was just interested in it, you know, more than what was going to happen.
How did you feel about it when it was closed down for the war?
Well, you know, the war overrode everything. We knew it had to be closed down and had to join the army.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
Yes, I did, yes.
Under what circumstances?
Well, at home, on the radio.
And how did you feel about it?
Well, pretty bad. The same as, you know, but we knew it was coming. We had an idea it was coming.
Did you feel dismayed about it?
Well, yes, I did, in a way. I wasn't very happy, but, you know, along with everybody else.
Did you support the idea of a war against Germany?
No, I didn't support it, but it was inevitable that it happened.
Were you in any early bombing of Britain by the German Air Force?
No. For the first year, there was no bombing in London.
So how did the war affect you at first?
Well, I had to join the army in September.
Were you called up?
No. No, I wasn't called up, but I would have been, of course. But I wanted to go in the... I wanted to choose what I wanted to do in the army.
So you volunteered?
Yes.
How did you actually go about it?
Well, with a few other pals from the BBC, we went to a recruiting office in Edgware, and they signed us all in and sent us off to Portsmouth.
What happened to you there?
Well, we hung around with no uniforms for about a week, and then... I was interviewed by a colonel from the War Office who said, you're qualified, we're going to send you to the Military College of Science, and you're now a staff sergeant. That was before I was a private. And I hadn't got a uniform then.
How did you feel about this news?
Well, I felt quite good about it.
And then?
Well, then I was at Military College of Science for 6 months on the radar course, first radar course.
Where is the Military College of Science?
In Lydd.
Is this Kent?
Yes, in Kent, yeah. In those days, I think it's moved since then.
Did you know anything about radar?
Well, I knew that... aeroplanes interfered with the television signals, and that was the basis of radar.
What was the full name of the college at Lydd?
Well, it was the Military College of Science.
Can you tell me about the course? And...
Well, it was interesting, and of course you had to sign the Official Secrets Act and all that. But you, they had a radar set there, and you practiced on that. They had planes flying over. You could pick them up and detect them and find out how far away they were. And the course was mainly theoretical, really.
Can you describe the apparatus that you were using at first?
Oh, it was pretty crude. There was a transmitter in a van that transmitted the pulse signals, and then there was a receiver in another van which picked up the signals coming back from the airplane and measured the distance, the difference in the going and coming, which determined the mileage that the plane was away.
How effective was the equipment?
Pretty well, very effective, but the guns weren't terribly effective. You gave them the information, but they weren't all that effective.
In hitting the plane, do you mean?
Yeah.
What kind of range and clarity did the equipment produce?
In those days, it was about 30 or 40 miles away.
Could you see the signal on the display all right?
Yes, you could see it on the cathode ray tube. You could see the display coming back.
What did it look like?
Sorry?
What did the display look like?
Well, just a pulse going up like that, straight up.
Like a bump in the graph?
Yeah.
Do you remember any of the people there who...
Yes, or were... some of the people I was on the course with came from the BBC. Yes, I remember them.
Who were they?
Well, there was Perlevay, a chap called Perlevay, another one called... what was his name now? Beresford Cook. And two or three others.
Who were the people in charge?
Well, military person. There's a major in charge.
Did he have a scientific or technical background?
Yes, I think he had a technical background.
What did you understand you were preparing for?
Well, I understood that I was preparing to go out in the field and maintain this equipment.
Was it easy to maintain?
Well, fairly simple, yes. It was more simple than television.
How long was your course for?
6 months.
So this takes us into the early part of
1940? Took me into, yes, indeed. April 1940 or whenever it was, yes.
And then?
Well, then I went to join a unit in the north of England.
Whereabouts?
Near Darlington.
What were you supposed to do there?
Well, I was joined up with this unit, which was a maintenance unit. I was supposed to go out and look at the radar if anything went wrong. But there weren't many radars about, so there wasn't a lot to do.
Were there any radar stations in Teesside?
Yes, radar stations.
Do you remember where they were?
Well, there's one near Newcastle and one near Darlington. Those are the only two I visited.
So it sounds as though you had time on your hands.
Yes, I had, yeah.
What happened next?
Well, next, the unit was ordered to go to Egypt.
Did this unit have a number or name?
Yes, but I can't remember it.
When do you think you went to Egypt?
We went to Egypt in July 1940.
Can you tell me about getting there, please?
Yes, we went on a boat called the Empress of Canada.
What happened on the voyage?
Well, we had a naval escort, and we didn't have any incidents. There were no submarine incidents. Best part was when we stopped at Cape Town and had a nice time.
Why was it so good?
Well, because everybody was so generous and hospitable.
And on arrival in Egypt?
Yes, on arrival in Egypt, I went to Cairo.
To do what?
Well, presumably to look at radar equipment, but there wasn't any there at the time.
So why had they sent you?
I didn't have anything to do.
Was it because they were waiting for it?
Yes, they were waiting for it, I think, yeah.
Can you tell me about any experiences you had in Cairo, in Egypt?
Not very exciting, really. Nothing very much. I was there for about 3 months, then I was sent to Greece. That was very early on in the war. I was in October 1940.
Where did you go to in Greece?
I went to Athens.
With a group?
No, by myself.
Why was this?
Well, because they hadn't any radar experts in Greece.
But were you under somebody there?
Well, I was. I was sort of attached to a unit, yes. But a very loose attachment.
Attachment to the army?
Yes. Mm. Mainly for food and pay, I suppose.
But was there any radar equipment at all there?
Not when I went, no. Later on some arrived.
Did it arrive whilst you were there?
Yes, it did, yeah.
When do you think it arrived? It
arrived in January 1941.
What did it consist of?
Well, just one transmitter and one receiver. But the interesting is when we took it down to the airport, which is where was it supposed to be sighted, there was a colonel there in charge of the gun crew who said, take that rubbish away, we sight them through the barrel. It had no appreciation of what it did at all. So we took it away, went up the hill and played with it.
So he wouldn't exploit it?
Sorry?
He would not exploit the equipment?
No.
Did you tell him about the range of the equipment?
Oh, yes, but they weren't interested in technical equipment. They'd been trained for World War I.
What rank did this officer have?
A colonel, I think, colonel. In the early days, there was a bit of chaos going on.
What do you mean you were playing with it?
Well, I took it up a hill. I'd get a longer range and played around with it. You know, and we could detect the aircraft coming in, but nobody took any notice of it.
So he said, take this rubbish away, what?
We sight them through the barrel.
Meaning the planes?
Yes.
So presumably he was Royal Artillery, was he?
Well, it was an attack. Yes, it was. Anti-aircraft artillery. Mm.
Were you with other people by now?
No, I was on my own. I mean, there were operators on the radar equipment, but I was in charge of it.
What were the operators like?
They were quite good, ordinary soldiers. They were quite good.
Was much technical skill required on their part?
No, not really. It was more or less follow the instructions and ABC, and that was it.
Did the equipment come into use in the Greek campaign?
Yes, it did, yes.
Can you tell me about that, please?
Yes, it came into use when it was about to January or February, when the Germans attacked Greece, which was later on. I think it was in April or something, but no, earlier.
Were you there then?
Yes.
Can you tell me about what happened?
Yeah, well, the war suddenly changed from a few Italian aircraft flying as high as they could to German aircraft flying as low as they could, and that would made a hell of a difference. Well, to us, you know.
So you got the equipment in operation by now?
Yes, we have.
Where was it set up?
Well, we were sending signals to a new regiment on another airport, and they used the information we sent them.
But whereabouts were you?
We were on this hill. It was the best place to be because you could detect the aircraft for many miles away.
Was the hill in Athens?
Yeah, just outside of Athens, yes.
Do you remember the name of the hill?
No.
Any incidents you can recount?
Not really. After January, in February, I was sent back to Egypt again.
For what reason?
Don't know, really. I was just scheduled to go back.
So you didn't see much of the Greek campaign?
Well, I did, because having gone back to Egypt, and a month later, they sent me back to Greece again.
What changes had taken place by then?
Well, by that time the Germans were well advanced, you know, and it was really an evacuation.
Did you come under fire?
Yes, a little, yes.
From what?
Aircraft.
Did they try to attack your radar station?
No, they didn't. They didn't really attack the radar station, but they, you know, they fired indiscriminately about.
How much use do you think the radar station proved to the forces in Greece?
Well, I think it proved that quite an asset. Gave them information they couldn't get otherwise, you know. And if they'd used it properly with the computer on the guns, it would have been more useful still.
How obvious was the radar station from the point of view of visibility?
Well, fairly obvious from the air, but if you didn't know what it was, it looked like a coffee shop, you know, coffee van by the side of the road.
Did you not have towers or anything of that kind?
No, no.
Why not?
Have what? Have
towers?
No, the aerial was on the roof of the radar van, no towers.
So it must have been rather inconspicuous.
It was rather, yes, it was. This was, you know, it wasn't like the coastal radar stations with high masts.
Did the equipment function properly?
Yes, it did, yeah.
What happened to it in the end?
Well, I blew it up. We evacuated Greece, and I blew the stuff up. That was the one thing they hadn't taught me at the Military College of Science, was how to blow it up.
How did you?
Well, I borrowed some explosives from the engineers and put them in the vital parts, and then set the explosion off.
Do you think the Germans would have recognised it for what it was?
I think so. They're pretty astute, yes, I think so. They had radar as well. But they wouldn't get the detail, because all the detailed stuff was broken up, smashed up.
Well, what stage was it blown up, do you think?
Well, it was blown up at the evacuation point.
At the embarkation point, you mean?
Yes, that's right.
Where was that?
Oh, south of the Corinth Canal, a little village place.
Do you remember its name?
No.
It wasn't a place called Kalamata, was it?
No.
Can you describe the evacuation?
Well, a bit chaotic, really. I mean, we just went down and waited all night. They blew up a few ships in the harbour, and then the next night we embarked and made for Crete.
What month might this have been?
That was in April, I think. That was when yes, that was April.
Were you attacked on the voyage from Greece to Crete?
Well, yes, we were a couple of times.
What by?
Aircraft. German aircraft.
Were you hit?
No. The boat was hit, but I wasn't.
Do you know the name of the boat?
No, I can't remember.
Were there any casualties aboard?
No, no. It was a vague sort of attack, really. Only one attack and then it went off. Had no casualties.
Were you armed?
Well, the boat, you mean? Or
no, you personally.
Well, I had a rifle. That wasn't much good against aircraft.
And you're still a staff sergeant?
Yes. Mm.
What happened once you got to Crete?
Well, We set up a radar station outside Canea.
When you say we, who was that?
Well, myself and a couple of other chaps. The unit, really.
Outside Kinnear?
Yes, outside. On a hill outside. And this was late in April. And then the Germans attacked it. They killed a couple of the operators. And also that damaged the equipment. They also damaged the equipment, which was full of shrapnel and bullets. So it was irreparable, really. Well, well, the Germans then attacked Crete with parachute regiment on the 20th of May, 1941. And we didn't seem to be able to defend it at all, not a great deal anyway. And of course, we were retreating across the mountains. And to be evacuated. Well, when we had when the Navy informed us that the Germans were going to attack Crete, I saw my commanding officer, who said, "Well, turn the lorries round and make for the hills."
Who was this commanding officer?
It was a captain.
Royal Artillery, or what?
Sorry.
In the
REME, Royal Electrical Mechanical Engineers. It wasn't. It was something else then. It was Ordnance Corps, I think.
What was your cap badge in the army?
My cap badge.
Yes.
Well, it was Ordnance Corps.
So you were Royal Army Ordnance Corps.
Yeah, until the REME started, then we were transferred to the REME.
When was the changeover? When did the changeover take place?
Well, I was in a prison camp in Germany.
Can you describe what the German attack was like from what you saw?
Well, yes, I saw thousands of people jumping out of planes, and it looked. We weren't actually involved in. We weren't actually in that area, but we could see it, and then they gradually pushed us back.
Did you do any fighting yourself?
No. I fired at a few planes, but wasn't much good with a rifle.
Did any of the German parachutists come anywhere near you?
Well, when we were captured, yes.
We'll come on to that later.
Yeah.